This episode of Storyworthy is brought to you by GoDaddy.com. Are you thinking about starting a new website?
Or do you have a new small business idea, or you want to sell something online?
Well, GoDaddy's offering one new or transfer.com for just $1.99 for the first year.
Each new .com comes with a free instant page website. What are you waiting for? Get your website started today.
Go to GoDaddy.com and enter the code STORY at checkout, or click on the GoDaddy banner on our website.
And you will be supporting this podcast.
Hey, this is Nikki Levy, and you are listening to Storyworthy.
Welcome to the Storyworthy Podcast. Here are your hosts, Christine Blackburn and Hannah Finney.
Welcome to Storyworthy. My name is Christine Blackburn, and I'm here with
Hannah Finney, and we are coming to you from the Kettle Moraine State Park in central Wisconsin. We've set up our mobile tent studio. We have, of course, the mobile home studio, but that's not allowed here. We've actually set up a tent.
So it's like podcasting in the woods.
It's right. Does a bear podcast in the woods? These
Probably.
Are the questions, right?
Probably somewhere.
Not, but there are no bears in Wisconsin, so
Well, this is great. Safe. I'm excited to be here. Wisconsin is a beautiful place in the summer. Also,
it is. It's oh wait. Here comes a mosquito. Oh, wait, it's a truck. Never mind.
Ow.
Ow.
Hey, that's exciting. You know, we've got a guest tonight, Nikki Levy, Hannes.
Yes.
Nikki Levy. She brings forth the topic.
The Nikki Levy.
Terrible wilderness experience.
I think that all wilderness experiences are terrible. Well, like, if she said wonderful wilderness experience, I'd be like, that is bullshit. This is pure fiction. That never happened. Nobody ever had fun in the woods.
That's funny you should say that, because I wrote a short story about it, and one of the first things I say is that you know, when you go into the wilderness, you are purposely making things more difficult for yourself. You know what I mean? Just the fact that you're going to be eating outside, sleeping outside, and you have, like, all you have is, like,
right.
a nylon tent that zips. That's
it's like a Renaissance fair. You are deliberately stripping away all the advances that people have suffered for thousands of years, like forks and refrigeration and, you know, microwaves. It's like, no, let's live like our forefathers did. Hey, they fucking hated it. They were like, I dream of the day someday when I can be inside.
Hannes, I think they were very happy in those covered wagons.
I think they were fucking miserable. There was no suspension, first of all. There were just wooden. Wooden.
No,
can you imagine? But we think, oh, it's tough. It's not like camping, which is bad enough. It's like you were on a wagon with four wooden wheels axes and going over no road.
Right. And then you see the Rocky Mountains. Then what do?
Yeah, then you shit yourself. You get attacked by Indians who have every right to kill you because what are you doing? And you have, like, if you're a woman, you had like four kids, three of them would die along the way. And
I don't think this is where Nikki Levy is coming from. I'll
no,
tell
I believe
you that.
That she built a time machine and went back in time. She did not name it well. She should have been I Traveled in Time, but she decided to go.
No, it's called Terrible Wilderness Experience, and we're going to hear about
that. Okay, we're
going to
hear about that. Hey, let's hear about your wilderness.
Well,
but before we do that.
But before we do that, I did want to mention, folks, that Storyworthy is an official selection in the LA Podfest happening October 4th to October 6th, right here in Santa Monica, Hannes.
Right. It will be entirely intense.
No.
There will be not be any indoor plumbing.
That is not true.
People will be pooping in holes in the ground.
Actually, the Sheraton Delfina in Santa Monica, just a couple of blocks from the beach.
Where if you want to, you can dig a hole and poop into it.
And there is the lineup features over 40 podcasts and also things like panel discussions. And we're going to be there.
And a podcast lab that's sponsored by Squarespace.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun. So if you want more information on that, folks, go to LAPodFest.com.
LAPodFest.com. LAPodFest.com.
And also, folks, if you'd like to support Storyworthy, and gosh, why wouldn't you?
After listening to this, maybe people are reconsidering that. But yes, please, you can send us money directly if you want to.
Well, you can do that, but also it's a free podcast. And so sometimes it helps if people, you know, support us, and then the train keeps moving forward.
Yeah, we're like public radio, except interesting.
So here's what we do, folks. If you go to storyworthypodcast.com, you click on our banner ad. That's all you have to do. There's an Amazon banner ad.
You go to Amazon, you buy like a Coulson, cooker, for when you're camping.
A Coleman. You don't even know the word. It's Coleman, Hannes. Anyway, folks, when you
fucking
shop on
woods.
Amazon.com, go to storyworthypodcast.com first, and you are supporting this podcast.
Yes, and all thank right. you very
Listen,
much.
I was thrilled when Nikki Levy brought the topic up, terrible wilderness experience, because recently I just got back from a little bit of a wilderness experience myself.
Yes.
Now, I used to live in Colorado, Hannes, but that's when I was very young. You know, I was like 19, 20, 21, 22.
And as has been told here before, on cocaine the entire time.
The entire time. Yeah. No, that couple of the years, not the whole time. The point is, I've done a lot of backpacking in my life. I did, you know, I did like Europe and a couple of things like that, Australia. But as I've gotten older, I have to say, in general, I'm not as interested in that sort of travel.
That's because, yeah, exactly.
In general.
That's just, why, again, I've always been a 40-year-old man, no matter how old I was.
Yeah.
So it's like when I was 20, I had no interest in backpacking across Australia.
Yeah.
I wanted to go to Sydney and go to the Opera House. I did not want to backpack. But let's
you
tell
You know what?
Us,
honestly, though, backpacking through Australia is one of the funnest things you could ever do in your whole life because it's safe and it's beautiful and it's interesting and there's people from all over the world there. What do you say to that?
No.
And
I say, fuck you. Too much? Too much?
I've been in the Sydney Opera House, and it's not as impressive as you think. The outside is impressive. Inside, big shoebox. I said it.
I was just thinking, actually, the one time I was with my mom in Berlin. Yeah, that sounds like fun. And we go to the Berlin Opera House and to see, like, Don Giovanni or something. And people are in tuxedos, and it's this opera house from, like, 1810, and it's the most beautiful thing you've ever seen. We made it till intermission.
Why is that?
Because how much fucking opera can you watch?
Ladies and gentlemen, Hannes Finney. Hannes Finney doesn't like the opera, also doesn't like the wilderness.
I just want to sit at home on Netflix. Is that so wrong?
And that's what you do. And that's so it works out really for everybody, doesn't it?
It really lets people not deal with me, and I sit at home.
All right, so a couple of weeks ago, I went to Colorado. I actually still have some of the remains. I got bit up pretty bad. A dragonfly got under my shirt. What's that all about, Sean?
Is that a euphemism?
I don't know. But keep in mind, the guy I went with, now he invited me to come. He lives in Colorado.
Yes.
His name is George. I believe you've met him.
I've met George. He is a teacher and looks like he was probably a hippie at one time.
At one time. I believe he probably was. I've known him for almost 30 years, so I know he was. Anyway, he is the quintessential outdoorsman, right? He fishes and he skis and he hikes, you know, outdoors guy. So, obviously, I let him plan the camping trip, the equipment, the meals, the location. And he chooses to take me to some beaver ponds near Fairplay, Colorado. Where is Fairplay, Colorado? Well, Fairplay, Colorado is near South Park. And yes, there is a South Park. What is a beaver pond? Well, it's a pond where beavers live. But I'll tell you something, Hannes. You're never going to see a beaver. Now, at the beaver ponds.
You don't know that. I might.
At the beaver ponds, there are a lot of dams, and there are many small, tiny ponds that you can't see through the tall grasses until you're actually upon the little tiny ponds. We're at about 10,000, 11,000 feet. I mean, we're very high up.
Jesus, isn't that freezing cold?
Now, no, because it's July, Hannes.
Well, yeah, but 10,000 feet. Okay, go
George,
ahead. Tell me more about the beavers, George.
He even bought me some shoes to go into the beaver ponds, because when you go fly fishing, you have to go into the pond. The ponds are full of trout, rainbow trout, brook trout, you know, trout. Now,
thanks for clearing that up.
This is George's very favorite camping site in the state, and it is remote. Now, George will tell you that it is not that remote. It is only 5 minutes from the highway. But you have to understand that the word highway is a pretty big word for a two-lane road that I believe starts with county road whatever number.
Yeah.
Once you leave this two-lane strip of pavement, you are four-wheeling. Now, you're not like Subaru Outback four-wheeling. You are full-on four-wheeling, Hannes. You have to be in a four-wheel drive truck with a certain amount of clearance, or you're not going to get very far.
Yeah.
It is a rocky path of red dirt and streams and places that you think, we're not going to go through that, and then you do go through that.
Oh, God, this is horrifying.
The vehicle must go very slow. It's kind of like, this isn't happening very quickly. This is all happening in, you know, 3 to 5 miles an hour. It's like we're driving in a car commercial for SUVs. You know the ones where they show how your truck will go through terrain that you'll actually never go through. Except now we are going through.
Yeah, you live in suburban Chicago, but thank God you could drive through a stream if you wanted to.
And here's the problem. Now, I happen to have, as you know, Hannes, because I've been complaining for 9 months, I have really bad tennis elbow right now.
Yes.
And I've had it for, you know, this whole year.
White people problem.
Every time I straighten out my elbow, I'm in pain. I can't lift anything with my right arm. It's painful to do things like brush my hair, get dressed. which is why I've been naked with messy hair recently. Anyway, I just had an MRI, and it shows that the tendon is torn off the bone, the ligaments are inflamed, the joints are scraping together. The doctor, literally, the orthopedic surgeon, literally left a message on my phone recently, and he said, "Miss Blackburn, there's a lot going on inside your elbow." That's not good.
Thanks, Doc. Thanks for being so specific.
My elbow hurts. That's what I'm saying. And four-wheeling does not help the situation. And we have to go 5 miles down this path. It takes like an hour and a half. Finally, we get to the beaver ponds. Okay, Hannes, this is not like a regular campsite. This is not like a KOA campground. There's no facilities. There's no bathrooms or electricity or running water. It's just a clearing, really. And I'm carsick and my elbow is screaming. And I'm thinking, why did he have to bring me so far away from civilization? When you take a girl from Los Angeles into the wilderness, you don't need to go this far into the wilderness. I need to be about 3 miles from a sushi restaurant, and yeah. I am in the wilderness, as yeah. far as I'm concerned. But after a little while, sure enough, we have a pretty good-looking campsite. You know, these guys, honest, these guys that live in the mountains, they know how to set up a camp, you know? It's like playing house. He sets up a little dining tent. He sets up a little kitchen. He sets up the tent that we're going to sleep in. We drink cold beer from the coolers. It's going to be okay.
No, it's not.
Yes,
it's not
it is.
Be okay.
Now we go fly fishing. George catches like 15 fish. They're jumping into his pockets, I swear to God. Yeah. I catch none.
He's a fish whisperer.
As it were. I did catch some a couple of days later, but it was at a different place. That night, we camp near the beaver ponds, and it pours all night long. It rains.
By the way, isn't the Beaver Pond a West Hollywood night spot?
It no. is. Okay. It pours all night long. But see, now the tent, you know the equipment's going to be good, right?
Yeah.
The tent, perfectly dry.
Awesome.
Have you ever had sex in a tent, Hannes?
I have.
Okay.
It's the only good thing about tents.
It works
is
out
outdoor
very well.
Sex.
Works out very well. Now, the next day we fish some more. We play some guitars. It's very sweet. The thing that I like about the wilderness, and this is what I think you're missing, Hannes, is like the immediacy of it, right? You have to stay present because your life gets boiled down to like survival because you've taken all those things away, haven't you?
Yeah.
So you shelter, food, warmth, the basics. You know, there's no computers or Facebook or reception, obviously. And the fly fishing.
Oddly enough, they're still LinkedIn. A beaver will come by with a piece of paper in his face that Christine Blackburn has invited you to join LinkedIn.
And then I shoot it in the face.
Yeah, exactly.
Then the fly fishing was a lot of fun. It's mesmerizing. You know, you throw the line out, you watch it float, then you bring it back and you throw it out again. And there's a whipping sound. It's very repetitive. It's very zen. It's like chop wood, carry water, throw the reel out, bring it back. And then, of course, I'm peeing outside. And I like peeing outside. The world is my toilet. But on the third day, Hannes, this is when it got tricky.
Oh, this is going
to
be bad.
Because I had to take the shovel into the woods. And you know what you do with that shovel, Hannes? You dig a hole. It's like a big divot, really. Then you shit in it. Then you cover it up. So that happened.
Well.
And that being said, I've had enough wilderness for a good year, year and a half.
Yeah, actually, and of course, does the podcast host shit in the woods? This is, we've answered the question, yes. See, I know you're supposed to cover it. I think at this point I'd be like, what, are you fucking kidding me? These animals, you think they're digging holes?
Do you know what my friend George said? He said you either have to cover it up or smear it on rocks to dry. That's what he told me. I said, well, what do you think I'm going to do? Give me the shovel.
No, I know that that's what they want to do, but I'd be like, nature, this is your fucking problem now. This is your problem. I've been eating nothing but trout.
It depends on how far you hike away from the tent. You do not want to pee or poop within the perimeter of the tent.
Exactly. Like a cat or a dog, you don't shit where you live.
That's right. You want to move aside, move away from the tent.
Well, actually, they also say, like, if you take your dog, your civilized dog, out to the woods, you're supposed to pick up its poop, which seems insane because it's surrounded by other animals. But it's like because it eats civilized food, it's like going to mess up the ecosystem of the entire, Yosemite Park.
Oh, my gosh, I haven't heard that.
Yeah, I heard that. And it's like, you know what?
Talk about a white person
problem with
a dog.
George Carlin used to say this. We are like, we think we're so powerful, we can destroy the earth. Blah, blah, blah. It's like, you know what? If I shit in the woods and I don't bury it, the earth will be fine.
Honest, you're never coming camping with me in Colorado. You're just not.
Is that a promise?
That's a promise.
No, that's like saying you and I will never jump off the fifth floor of this building and fly by flapping our wings. Never going to happen. Not going to the woods, not shitting in the woods, not sitting in, not, you know, not happening.
And on that note, folks, hang on tight because we've got a real storyteller here, Nikki Levy. She is on her way up, so don't go anywhere. Next week on Storyworthy, we have actress Naomi Grossman.
And I'll be talking about Men in Ties.
That's next week on Storyworthy.
Hey, Redneck, listen to Storyworthy. It's going on now.
And we're back. Thank God we have left the campsite in the Kettle Moraine, and we have trudged all the way back to Milwaukee, where we are now in a nice Italian restaurant overlooking Lake Michigan, and there's an indoor bathroom, and it's all very civilized.
You know, I will say one of the best parts about camping and hiking is the meal that you get on your return. You know what I mean?
That's like the thing where the guy's, you know, what, you know, it feels, you know, he's punching me in the face, but it feels good when he stops.
Doctor, it hurts when I do this. Well, then don't do that.
Don't do that. Yes, exactly.
Ladies and gentlemen, Nikki Levy is here right now. Nikki is a film producer, a writer, and a performer. Nikki Levy also produces LA's wildly popular monthly storytelling
wildly
show.
Popular.
Wildly, you heard me. It's called Don't Tell My Mother, and it's where comics and actors and award-winning screenwriters share stories that they would never want their mothers to know. Get it, honest?
Right, don't and they put it on a mother. Podcast, and since mothers don't listen to the interweb, it all works out
okay.
Fine. Yeah, exactly.
You can find her at DTMM Show or at don'tellmymother.com. Ladies and gentlemen, wherever you are, put your hands together for Nikki Levy.
Honest, it's so funny. Nobody's described me as civilized, which makes me think I want to actually undo my bra because it is so tight right now.
Awesome.
It really is. I'm going to be uncivil. I'm going to make this very uncivilized. Gold. So you guys know, you guys know what Passover is, right?
Right.
Okay, great. So for the story-worthy goys out there, I'm sure there are one or two, Passover, who don't live in LA, Passover is when the Jews, you know, they fled Egypt, they wandered for 40 years in the desert, and then finally made it home. Amen. Okay. Well, I used to love this holiday, and I used to love every Jewish holiday. I was actually very observant. And then kind of work and life and my discovery of bacon sort of drew me away from my people, and I've actually felt disconnected for a really long time. Well, I've been getting these emails for a while from a group called Wilderness Torah. And they, by the way, went to my spam Yahoo account. And they advertised these retreats like Yom Kippur in a yurt, Hanukkah in a hammock, and I really never paid them any attention. But a few months ago, I got an email for them for a retreat called Dayenu in the Desert. That's a Jewish word. Okay. So I was intrigued. We would celebrate Passover like the OJs, you know, like the original Jews. Four nights of camping completely off the grid. No cell phone, internet, or electricity. I could free myself from the shackles of technology. No bread, no rice, no pasta. I could lose a few pounds. This was going to be perfect. I pictured Shabbos sing-alongs and matzah s'mores. I was like, count me the hell in. So as soon as I sign up, I'm bombarded with emails talking about ride shares, recipes for vegan Passover muffins, and questions for contemplation like, how can you leaven your life? Well, I hit delete to all of them and send all future Wilderness Torah emails to spam, to the spam of my spam, by the way, until the day before the trip when I realize I have no idea where the hell I'm going. Well, I open the info email to find I'm heading to Trona, California. It's a gold mining town 200 miles away and an hour east of Death Valley. It is going to take 4.5 hours to get there from Los Angeles. And I have to leave at 5 a.m. because I signed up to be a greeter to save $50. So in that way, definitely still a Jew. So that's okay. I was excited. It's an adventure and I was ready. So while I'm pulling out my Ross Dress for Less luggage, no, I don't own a pack, my mother calls to tell me this is a terrible idea. She's like, where are you going? Who are you going with? There might be snakes. Why are you doing this? But she was being ridiculous. I mean, sure, I'm not of the campers, as it were. I mean, the closest I ever came to camping was pitching a tent in my bedroom with some sheets and making out with Jill Jivowitz under the covers. But you know what? Neither are the Jews. We have SUVs, but all we do is take them to the mall. We like Mahjong, Canasta. We are an inherently an indoor people. I think I'll be fine. And then I open up the mandatory packing list. 2 7-gallon drums of water, a tent with stakes, a solar shower, and snake bite salve. Are you kidding me? I mean, we're not wandering in the desert for 4 decades. We're heading east for 4 days. We're such an erotic people. Whatever. I go to Target and I buy some handy wipes and a cheap tent. I definitely don't need steaks. That's ridiculous. And then I go to Whole Foods for what's really important. Canned organic salmon and goat cheese from the specialty counter. Some things I can't skimp on. So I leave before dawn, making great time up the 15. And then I turn off the freeway onto the desert, doing 50 on the gravel road in my Honda Civic. Well, according to the directions from Shmuley at Wilderness Torah, I'm supposed to look for a rock with the Hebrew letter Chai on it, turn right, and camp will be 5 miles down the road. But is it that rock? That one? I mean, whose brilliant idea was it to put a sign on a rock anyway? How about something a little bit more obvious, like balloons, a burning bush? Come on, people. And that's when I notice this strange smell coming from my car and a weird light pop up on my dashboard. Shit. I knew I should have had the oil checked before I left. I was driving 2 years over the recommended service limit, and now it's going to take a miracle to get me the next 5 miles. True. Well, luckily, I remember oil is my people's specialty. Forget 5 miles, maybe it'll last 8 days. I don't want to push my luck. So I'm racing through the desert even faster now, scrutinizing rocks, and I think I see it. Yes, I jump out of the car to check, but it is just another fucking rock. I am about to kick my tire in frustration when I realize there is no tire. It's gone, completely shredded, and I have been driving on the rim. It was not the oil light. It was the tire. We don't have miracles for that. But we do have AAA. All will be fine. I take out my cell phone, only to find that I have no service. I don't mean like no bars and like a circle. You know, guys, you know the circle. You're like, fuck, let this call go through. No, I mean it straight up says no service. How is this possible, people? I can text message from an airplane on the way to New York City. How can I not make a call from my car in California? Now I'm panicking, so I try 911 because that has to work. It's an emergency. Nothing. I'm stranded in the desert without a person in sight. This is how horror movies start, or Whitesnake videos. I start to panic. Stay cool, Nikki, stay cool. But I can't, because in an hour, it's going to get very, very hot. Why didn't I buy the drums of water? Goat cheese was a very poor choice. God, I know I said I wanted to be in nature without my cell phone, but I was kidding. If you get me out of this, I promise to get back on J-Date and actually check it. But then it dawns on me. You know what? The Jews roamed the desert for 40 years with vermin and pestilence at their backs. I can do 5 miles in my kicks. And so I put them on and I go. 3 hours later, sweaty and exhausted, I see it. Is it a mirage? No, it's 100 sweaty 20-somethings dancing the hora to a bongo drum. Life never looked so good. Shalom, shalom, I'm greeted by a man in a desert skirt. Listen, you gotta help me. My name is Nikki. I broke down and I need someone who's gonna change my tire. Not listening, he pulls me over to the welcome table and asks me to fill out a name tag, which is actually just a piece of bark. Get creative, he tells me. I look around and everyone has names like Harmony and Elijah and Sufganiya. I ask them for help, but they're busy making lanyards out of desert grass. Then a guy named Yoni comes over to the rescue. I can change your tire. Oh, thank you, thank you. We drive over to my car. I take out the jack and spare and hand them over to the master. He inspects them like my mother looking at a computer and then asks for the manual. Well, that's kind of weird. A manual to change a tire? Whatever. I trust him. So it says here we have to put the jack underneath the car near the front. Oh my God, Yoni has never changed a tire in his life. And that is when I pray and then call up every stitch of lesbianism God gave me and crank that shit up by myself. I get all of the lug nuts off, but try as we both might, there is one that for some reason just won't budge. Why is this lug nut different from all other lug nuts? Yoni asks. Oh my God, help me. We leave my car, now jacked up, on the side of the road. We get back to camp, and luckily Shmooly and the Wilderness Torah people have a satellite phone. Oh, thank you for mentioning that earlier, Shmooly. We call AAA, and they promise to be there in an hour. Finally, I'm able to relax, enjoy the festivities. But instead of a sing-along like I was expecting, I arrive to a cautionary tale about Ronit, whose tent went flying away last year in a gust of wind because she didn't bring stakes. I lean over to the girl next to me with Jew dreads and hairy pits, and I'm like, wait a minute, they were serious about the stakes? I thought that was a suggestion. Is life a suggestion? Oh my God, she goes back to drinking what looks like a fetus in a mason jar. I have a few suggestions for her, but they're interrupted by a bearded guy with a guitar who starts singing, "The tent, my friend, was blowing in the wind. The tent, it was blowing in the wind." Jews are really shitty, by the way, at like anything like mechanical or sports, but they're really good singers. I can't take it, so I leave for a bathroom break. But all I could find is one dirty, smelly porta potty for all 100 people. I go in, but it is like the Masada of poop. Try as I might. Like you, Christine, I couldn't do it. My mother was right. What was I thinking? I hold a job. I own a dog. I shave my pits. I just paid off my student loans. I am too old for this shit. Like, literally, I am too old for this shit. Just then, the bearded guy announces the day's activities. There will be matzah making followed by acorn grinding. Is there tire changing, I ask? Is there tire changing? And everyone laughs. Oh, where the hell is AAA, my artisanal cheese? It's melting. Then, like a sign from God, I see a big burly man with a bark tag that says Moses. I run up to him. Moses, will you lead me out of the desert? I mean, can you change a tire, please? Does a bear shit in a kibbutz? Well, we get to the car and he lays his wisdom down on me. That there? That's a tire lock. Got a key? No? Then you're fucked. Moses, you are not the savior of the Jews! Turns out my messiah is a Long Island transplant named Joey in a big white truck that says AAA. He tries to jimmy the lock off with a bolt cutter, but to no avail. He apologizes and says he has to haul me back 50 miles to quote-unquote town. He throws my car on a flatbed, and I hop in the cab, and we begin the long, slow ride back to civilization. Slow because Joey's only driving 5 miles an hour, which he explains is the fastest you can go on gravel without blowing out your tire. Why didn't they say that in the emails? I get the locks broken off my car and a brand new tire. I am free! I am free! I can either drive back to Jewish Burning Man, making it in time for s'mores, or I can go home, poop in my own toilet, and watch The Bachelor. I realize I have a choice. I also realize I don't need 40 years in the desert to appreciate my freedom. 4 hours, it was sufficient. Next year in Jerusalem? No. Next year in West Hollywood, the true Holy Land, with my iPhone, a bathroom, and a big thing of pinkberry, Dayenu. Thank you.
I knew you were going to leave. As soon as I saw you get in the cab, and when I heard you get in the cab of the truck, I thought, she's never going back there.
Never. Yeah. Let me tell you something, guys. Talking about the best thing about camping is your post-camping meal.
Right.
On the way back with my amazing new tire that I got for $60, by the way.
Oh, that was good.
$60. I know. For $60, I found an all-you-can-eat Asian, like sushi, mixed Asian place in the middle of nowhere for $12.99. I had the best shit ever. I had like eel and pork buns and
I know, out there in the desert, it's weird. It's like nobody told, you know, these Asian immigrants, you know, there's no water anywhere. It's I opened sushi restaurant.
It was
really
so good.
But it's amazing.
It was so good. I mean, I ate all the
rice.
Where
was that at? What
pork.
Was the name of that town? I mean, that was that California.
Trona was the Jewish Burning Man site. Yeah, if you're interested, wildernesstorah.com.
But it's truly not as big as Burning Man. I mean, how many people?
No.
100 people.
No. There's probably about 100 Jews.
Is it a singles thing? Is it meeting people?
Well, here was my thought, guys. My thought was this. I thought I could kill two birds with one stone.
Yeah, what was the attractive part?
Yeah, the attractive part was, A, I'm a hippie at heart.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't been a hippie in a long time, but it still lives there a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
So that. Number two, and I've never camped in California. Number two, I really missed my Jewish heritage. I really got away from it, and I love it. And I got this.
But what
thing
do you miss? You missed it from. But you live here. If there's.
I know. See, when I think of Jewish heritage, and I think of it every day, I would think of a city.
Los Angeles.
I would think you would make a pilgrimage to Brooklyn or something. Not out in the woods.
You would think that. But one of the other deterrents from my Judaism is that everyone in my temple has had babies, which reminds me that I'm like woefully need to have babies.
Right.
So I don't go there. And I thought this would be a great immersion experience.
Okay.
I thought, you know what? Yeah. If you're going to do something, just do it all the way.
And you didn't know anybody else at the camp.
Well, I knew nobody, thinking I would know nobody. But when I got there, I actually ran into this woman I had a huge crush on when I went a number of years ago to a Jewish silent meditation retreat.
Okay, so you are a retreat type person.
I love retreats, but the Jewish silent meditation retreat was at Spirit Rock, which is absolutely not the wilderness.
Where's that?
Spirit Rock is in Marin. So clearly not the wilderness.
I see it by San Francisco.
Northern San Francisco.
And
I went on a Jewish
San Francisco.
Buddhist retreat. So it was for Jubus. So it was silent.
They call it Jubus?
There's a whole. Where do you live?
I don't know. I don't know.
Are you living
Jewish?
In Colorado?
No.
Is that where you live? You live in
Colorado?
No.
She lives in.
Jewish Buddhists are called Jubus. I think that sounds racist. See, I can't say that because I'm not. I don't think I could pull that off.
Like frozen yogurt is froyos.
I could say a froyo.
Right. Like. Benefer.
I could say that, but I wouldn't say like that's like if I don't want to start putting together racial
it's
slurs.
Like the Jew-boo. It's like the N word. Some people
no,
could say it, and
the,
some people can. It's
not the
just
N-word?
Like the I'm kidding.
Oh Jew-boo. Okay. Okay.
I just
so
have to.
I love Jew-boos, and I this is a silent retreat, and I was silent except for every night. Me and my roommate would talk in the room, and she happened to be there. But the other thing that didn't really goad me into staying is that she had an engagement ring on, and she was actually engaged to her partner.
So how long...
There was no reason for me to stay.
Did you stay at that retreat?
A few hours until AAA came, and then I...
Jubu.
Five nights and six days.
So you enjoyed that. The Marin, that one worked
out
well.
Right, just found out she wasn't going to bang that girl.
You know,
and then she went,
guys,
screw
it's
this.
Just like, you know, it's like half liking it and half it's like exercise. You know, you don't want to do it, but it's good to be silent.
Yeah, you think that, you know what, this will cleanse me somehow, or it's a challenge to yourself. And it says, I can do it. It's like control.
It's probably one of the reasons, besides wanting to fuck in the tent, that you went camping with your friend, George or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Because it seems like an experience and you'll kind of test yourself a little
and
bit.
And I used to be more of a hippie, and I definitely used to be more easy going to do things more outdoorsy, but now, I definitely am not interested nearly like I used to be.
Yeah.
I had a girl, guys, that I broke up with because she only wanted to go away and stay at the Four Seasons, which I've never even been, and like growing up in Queens, that was just like a Shonda. Like, how could you ever spend that kind of money? Now I'm like, you know what? Fuck camping. I want to stay in the Four Seasons.
You call her back. You go, listen, I was wrong. I was wrong years ago. Let's go have sex in the Four Seasons.
Well, there's different experiences. I mean, it just depends on the trip you're taking.
I was going to say, I do actually have an experience of Death Valley, because I was going out with a girl in L.A. She became a park ranger in Death Valley. Yeah, you heard me. And she was like giving tours of like Scotty's castle.
Hmm? She's straight?
What?
She's straight?
Oh, she's straight, baby. Mm. No, she was. So I drove all the way to Death Valley for a booty call. And I was driving through the night, and it's just like, it's endless. People have no idea. They think, a couple hours. No, it's just endless, like I've driven to the moon,
right?
And I'm still on the moon, and
so
there's
you got
nothing.
There.
And no way.
Tell me you got laid.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. But the funny thing was, we get there. She's living in like a trailer thing provided, which has a swamp cooler.
Wow.
Which is basically there's water in a big vat, and it circulates the air over the water. So it's not, you know, at night. I mean, I got there like 2 a.m. and it was still 100 degrees outside.
Sure.
And inside it was 80 degrees, but you felt like it was cool.
Oof.
And I got there and I say to her, I remember this because I'm like, this took, I'm fucking exhausted. Don't worry about anything. I'm going right to sleep thinking she'll be like, because she was kind of a nervous girl with the sex. And she'd, you know, I'll be like, hey, you know, don't worry about it.
What is a nervous girl with the sex? What does that mean?
She was a 26-year-old virgin.
Oh, my God.
Until I came along.
Wow. So you weren't going to Death Valley. You were going to Virgin Valley.
She was a super Catholic.
He was
going
to claim
her. No, we had already had the sex. and the sex, as I like to say.
You had had the sex. We were going back for more of the sex.
Yes, yes.
Oh, so she was in Death Valley.
She was a super Catholic, Irish Catholic, 26-year-old virgin.
We need to aim higher for you.
Yeah. So this is years ago.
She wasn't a virgin at this point.
Not at this point. So I'm like, you know what? And she was like all like anticipating me getting there, which I totally didn't think would be what she's doing. And I'm walking in, I'm like, oh God, oh, this is horrible. Okay, talk about the middle of nowhere. Talk about town. It's a town with quotation marks. Bishop is like 2.5 hours away, and that is the closest place that you can shop for anything.
Right.
And she wanted to get candles, so it'd be romantic, right? We can have a romantic time. The only candles she could find in the entire town of Bishop were those Jesus candles that you see at the 99-cent store.
Romantic.
We're surrounded, that's like Jesus is flickering off the ceiling, and I'm like, what the hell's going on here? Anyhow, so that's my Death Valley experience.
Can I tell you something?
Please.
Once when I had someone over, we wanted candles, and the only one I had was a Yahtzeit candle. Do you know what that is? It's where when people die, you light it.
Oh, wow.
My God, that's like in the play that my girlfriend is in.
Yeah.
It's a little tiny candle.
It's a little candle. Yeah. It's not sexy.
Yeah. No, not...
You shouldn't use it to, like, drip it on your girlfriend, for sure.
Yeah, that's probably, but we still do.
I got my luggage at Ross. I've got no problem with the luggage at Ross.
Ross is great, isn't it?
Yeah, and for luggage, they've got the spinners. It works
out
real well.
Absolutely, Ross luggage is spinners. Ross everything. Are you getting the shirts from Ross?
It's amazing,
what's a spinner?
Well, the luggage that goes 360. You don't have to, like, drag it. It just spins.
Oh, I've heard about this. Oh, this is very exciting. I bought my luggage at Luggage for Less in North Hollywood.
Well, Ross is dressed for less.
Boy, this is great podcasting. Am I right, Sean? Nikki, let me ask you this. Why didn't you tell those folks you were one of the greeters? When you got there, they greeted you, didn't they?
They greeted me,
to the camp.
Well, the truth is, I wanted to make the story short, but when I actually introduced myself, they're like, oh, your shift was at 9. Like, fuck you. Fuck you.
All right, let me ask you. I wanted to play Shotgun Storyworthy if we could. but before that, let me ask you, how is the show going, Don't Tell My Mother?
The show's great. We're back on October 10th for the big 2-year anniversary show.
And where is that going to be, October
10th? And it's going to be at Fado Do with the amazing, you guys know Beth Grant from the Mindy Project.
Oh, that's great.
Yes. Yeah. That's going to be really fun. That's the big coming out show. It's for National Coming Out Day.
Oh, how exciting.
And the 2-year anniversary.
So that's October 10th.
October 10th, yeah. And then we're actually in Chicago in December as a benefit for the Gay and Lesbian Center.
Hooray.
So we're really excited. Yeah,
Don't tell my mother. It's not like all the stories are about coming out or...
No, not at all. Not at all. So the coming out show is all different iterations of... You know, all different riffs on that theme.
Coming out of different closets.
So like,
like you telling your parents, I want to be in show business, which is almost like coming out to most people.
It's so true. I have a friend who came out of jail after a 3-year stint. There's all kinds of stories. So, yeah, it's all kinds of riff, and then we're going to have a big birthday cake for my birthday.
Oh, hooray. Mm-hmm.
Oh, wait, finally. I was like, yeah, maybe. Cake. I'll be there.
I loved when you Skyped in your mother at the last show, or one of the shows I saw a couple of months ago. Mm-hmm. It was for the Mother's Day show, and you Skyped in your mom. That was really funny.
Judy Levy, she lives in New York.
Right.
Judy Ellen Marlin.
She's the real deal, man.
Shocking.
She's the real deal, guys. She has planned a Rosh Hashanah trip for us to Florida. She got the room for $49 a night, and they give confidential breakfast.
Right. Isn't it funny how you have to hear? They have to tell you those details.
The details.
It's part of the whole thing.
Yeah, no, it's in West Palm. I have not committed. But she's doing really well. So she comes to as many shows as she can because she loves to laugh, and she's the best. You guys have to have her. She's the best audience.
Oh, that's
ever
awesome.
Want a good, and she is. And then when she doesn't come, I get to Skype her in.
There you go.
She's retired, so this is her
life. That's good. I was going to ask you whether she was stolen. That's good. See, my mother would have been a terrible audience. My mother was from Germany.
Ooh.
So it's like,
she would just talk back at us, yell at us. Perhaps.
No, she would just watch. And then at the end, she'd go, that was amusing. Not a big laugher.
Hannes, when I was doing my story, I was looking at you, and you were very German.
Oh, yeah. No, I'm a terrible audience. Oh, I'm the worst audience there is.
Well, Hannes is the kind of audience where he sits back and he says, yeah, that's pretty funny.
No, I'm like a comedian. You know, you've done... Now, Nikki, did you ever do stand-up per se?
I'm sort of like that.
Yeah, and you go to the coffee shop, and there's nothing but comedians, and they just look at you judgingly, and then when you say something funny, they do a little head nod.
It's sort of like learning your craft, though. I mean, I understand that.
No, but they're terrible audiences.
And the good thing about people who are tough audiences like you, Hannes, is that when you do laugh, I'm like, oh, man, that was good. All right.
Exactly.
And then you feel like doubly good.
It gives you constructive.
Yeah. I'll laugh at anything.
Hey, would you like to play some Shotgun Story right
now? Hell yeah.
That music music can only mean one thing. It's time for Shotgun Storyworthy.
The game where our storyteller spins the Storyworthy Wheel of Truth and tells a true one-minute story about the topic it lands on.
So everybody, say it with me.
Spin that wheel!
Oh my God, guys, seriously. Guys, I just spun Faith. That's so crazy. That is so crazy. Okay. Okay, guys. So since this wilderness experience trip didn't work out, I was recently invited to Shabbos. And I don't do anything Jewish. So I went to Shabbos. Well, I didn't realize that the Shabbos was at an Orthodox rabbi's house last Friday night.
Wow.
Which is why they told me to bring nothing and to cover my arms. I was just like, okay, I'll totally be respectful of this family, you know, in the Larchmont area. So I show up. I show up myself. It was 3 hours until we ate. The food was amazing. This is a terrible story. The food was absolutely amazing. And what we discussed was, you guys know the five love languages, the five languages of love? It's sort of like how we give and receive love. It's our love language. And they gave the sort of sermon, the drash that the rabbi gave over the brisket was the Jewish interpretation of the five languages of love. And my language of love in a Hebrew word is touch. So I experience how someone loves me, Christine, come over, is that they hold me, which is why I tried to grab your boob during the story. So so that's my love language, and I want to go back tomorrow for Shabbos. Thank you.
Ah. You know what? I love that story.
It's totally true.
If you talk about like your sense, like seeing and tasting, and touch is definitely my best, it's my best sense. What's your best sense?
I think it's my best sense.
You have glasses, so maybe it's not sight.
It's not sight. To be honest, it probably is touch.
How about you, Hannes? Your best sense. I bet for you it's taste, isn't it? You love food.
No, oh, I thought we were talking about sex.
No, I was thinking about your food. You love food. Maybe it's taste.
I do. I do love food. Yeah, okay, I'll go with that. Well, but no, I don't know. I don't know. Touch, smell, taste.
No.
What are the other five?
Let me tell you the love language, the five love languages. Yeah. And I can't do the Hebrew interpretation.
Is rape one? Because that's not funny.
Rape's definitely not one, no. The first one I'll just say is touch. So we experience love from touch. The second one is acts of service. So if someone, say, takes you to the doctor or cleans your dishes for you, acts of service.
Hot.
The next one is like praise, like so if someone's, you're beautiful or you did such a great job, Christine.
Number?
I know, yeah. Right? I know. I give you the rabbi's number, but he's married.
He,
with, like,
he exists
children.
In fantasy land.
The fourth and fifth. Oh, no. Hold on. Service. Oh, shit.
Oh. Sexual favors?
Oh, no. Quality time.
Quality.
Because this
time.
Is so not me. It's like you, Christine, spent the day with me and you didn't check your phone. You just spent all day and you really were like present. That's one. And that's really one people do all the time.
That's good. And that's why you were texting during our show. That's awesome. Okay.
I was not texting, honest. Then
And then the fifth one is probably errand boy. Somebody who just runs your errands. No?
I feel like no. But maybe. Guys, I can't think of the fifth one. You're putting
me on
the spot.
Well, this is fun, though. See, I wish I was Jewish.
Well, touch
Jewish
seems like the best one of those. Those choices, I'm going with
the
being touched.
The thing with the Jewish people is that you guys have, like, a whole culture, and you're all, like, friends, and everybody's in on something.
We're not
nothing.
All friends?
What's I don't know. I just feel like I'm always way on the outside of the whole thing.
What are you?
Especially in Hollywood.
What are you?
Oh,
what's
I got
your
nothing.
Nationality?
I got nothing.
No. She's a lapsed Catholic.
No, I want to hear.
I don't know. I was forced to go to church till I was 15. And
come
that
on,
was
Blackburnsky. What are you?
I got nothing. No, okay, my father is family's from England and my mother is from Italy. But, I mean, I'm American. I'm not going to go to Italy and say, I'm from the north of here, you know?
Well, let me just say one thing, though. You're a mom. Do you feel any kinship with other moms?
Sure.
Okay, well, then it's interesting. Like, you know, like who
But that's
you,
not a religion, thank God.
Right, but it still is like, I mean, what about people who are all different? I don't know, I'm trying to
How think about podcasters? Thing. That's a religion.
Podcasters, that's right. What about stoners? There, I'll be right in there.
There you go.
That's a great group. They stick together, they don't do much. They
that's
just
right.
hang out.
And
they have to stick together. They can't move very fast.
Exactly.
Sit
Everything's
quietly.
Very mellow. I don't mind that at all. It's a peaceful existence.
It's a peaceful. Yeah, I'm not a stoner, but I am a Jew.
Hey, thank you so much for coming.
Thanks
today.
For having me.
Wait a minute, you're a Jew? Wait a minute, hang on. I missed that point completely.
Don't out me.
Ladies and gentlemen, we got to wrap it up right about now. I'd like to thank a few people for helping us out today, including Sean Merrick, and of course, Jorge Reyes, Joe Slepsky, John Thomas Griffith. You know, he's the guy who...
I have no idea who that is.
...theme song. And on behalf of our storyteller today, Nikki Levy, and of course, you, Hannes Finney, my dear friend and co-host, my name is Christine Blackburn, saying, make it a story-worthy week.
Thanks for joining us on the Story Worthy Podcast. We'll be back next week with all new stories. Subscribe to Storyworthy on iTunes and visit the Storyworthy website at storyworthypodcast.com.
If you like listening to comedy, try watching it on the internet. The folks behind the Sideshow Network have launched a new YouTube channel called Wait For It. It's got interviews with comedians like Reggie Watts, Todd Glass, Liza Schlesinger, Schlesinger. I've been friends with her for 10 years. One of the funniest people out there, and I still have a hard time with the last name, Liza. Our very own Owen Benjamin, that's me, takes you on a musical journey down internet rabbit holes and much more. You don't have to wait any longer. Just go to youtube.com/waitforitcomedy. There's no need to wait for it anymore because it's here and it's funny. And I love you.